Karturajyaya prapyate phalam karma kimparam karma tajjadam kriti mahodadau patana karanam phalam shashvatam gati nirodhakam ishwararpitam nishayakritam chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam kayavanmanah karyamuttamam pujanam japashintanam kramat jagata ishadi yukta sevanam ashtamurdive deva pujanam uttamasavat uchamandata chittajam japadhyanamuttamam ajyadharaya srotasasamam sarala chintanam viranataparam bheda bhavanat sohamityasau bhavana vida pavanimaka bhava shunyasat bhava sustiti bhavana balat bhakti uttama restalemana swastata kriya bhakti yoga bodhasya nishitam vayurodhana liyate mana jala pakshiva krodha sadhanam chitta vayava chitkriya yuta shakha yodhvayi shakti mulaka laya vinashane uhaya rodhane laya gatam punar bhavati no mritam prana vandana lina manasam eka chintana nashametyada nashta manaso krishta yogina krityam astikim svastitim yada krishyavahitam chittamatmana chitvadarshanam manasam tukim margane krite naiva manasam margarajava vrittayastvaham vrittimashrita vrittayo mano vidyanam mana ahamayam bhuto bhavati chinvata aipatadyamam nijavicharanam ahaminashapadyaham antaya spuratirasvayam paramapurnasat idamaham padaghityamanvaham ahamilinake pyalayasatyaya vigrahendriya pranadhitamah nahamekasat chajjadavyasat sattvavasika chitkvavetara satyayariche chittayayam isha jivayor vesha divida satsvabhavato vastu kevalam vesha anatah swatma darshanam isha darshanam swatma rupatah atma samsthiti swatma darshanam आत्मनिर्द्वयात् आत्मनिष्ठता ज्ञानवर्जिता ज्ञानहीनचे ज्ञानमस्ति किं ज्ञातुमन्तरम् किं स्वरूपमेत्यात्मदर्शने अव्यया भवा पूर्णचित्सुखम् बन्धमुक्त्यपि तं परं सुखं विन्दति न जीवस्तु दैविकः अहमपेतकं निजविधानकं महदिदं तपो रमणवागियम् अहमवेतकं निजविधानकं महदिदं तपो रमणवागियम्
Let's chant Om together for a minute. Come to verse 22. So those, if you like, you can repeat after me. Vigrahendriya pranadhitama.
Vigrahendriya pranadhitama.
Nahamekasat tadjadam yasat.
Nahamekasat tadjadam yasat.
So here, he says, Ramana says, I am one and real, Eka Sat. And body-mind complex is insentient and unreal. Now what is this body-mind complex? He gives the five layers of the human personality. Vigraha here means physical body. The annamaya, the physical body. And then here, indriya includes the senses. And then prana, the pranamaya kosha, the vital sheath. Then actually vijnanamaya. So here, indriya and prana, in that pranamaya kosha and manomaya kosha are included actually. And dhi is vijnanamaya kosha. And then tamaha here refers to the anandamaya kosha. I am none of these. Here, Ramana Maharshi has given the exact procedure for self-inquiry. So the multiple procedures available in Vedanta, here he has given one very well-known procedure for self-inquiry, which we will study and also try to practice a little bit today. So this is the famous procedure from the Taittiriya Upanishad. This is called Pancha Kosha Vichara. So those, make sure that your phones are on silent. Pancha Kosha Vichara. What is this Pancha Kosha Vichara? In the Taittiriya Upanishad, we find the Brahmananda Valli. The three chapters are there. In the second chapter, you find this... beautiful, the first stanza, the first paragraph, which contains the essence of Vedanta, I think. It goes like this. Brahma vidapnoti param tadeshabhyukta Satyam jnanam anantam brahma Yo veda nihitam guhayam paramebhyo man So ashnute sarvan kaman sah brahmana vipaschiteti. What does that mean? The first line gives us the whole essence of Vedanta. The first line says, the knower of Brahman attains the highest. The knower of Brahman attains the highest. Three things have been said here. I'll just summarize briefly what it says. And then we will launch into this investigation. The knower of Brahman attains the highest. Three things have been said here. There is something called Brahman. Some ultimate reality is mentioned here. Brahman, something called Brahman. Second, knowledge of Brahman is mentioned, that you have to know Brahman. And third, a goal has been mentioned, attains the highest. Now we can have three questions about these three. What is this Brahman? What is this ultimate reality Vedanta talks about? Second, what is the knowledge of Brahman? How do I know Brahman? If I'm supposed to know Brahman, how do I know Brahman? Third, attains the highest. What is the highest? What do we attain by this? And the answers are given in the succeeding lines. What is Brahman? Tadesha bhyukta. It has been said in the Vedas. What is Brahman? Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Maybe the most beautiful, profound and deep definition of the ultimate reality that I've ever come across. So the ultimate reality, Brahman, is limitless consciousness existence. Satyam, reality, truth, existence. Jnanam, knowledge, consciousness. Anantam, without limit. Brahman. Brahman is limitless existence consciousness. Satyam, jnanam, anantam, Brahman. That's how it is defined. And if you want the details of this definition, I will not go into it now. That's not the subject today. Details you can find. I have given a couple of talks about this called Defining God. You cannot actually define it, but you can, if you investigate this definition, you will see why it's a great definition and why actually you cannot define the ultimate reality. So that's the answer to the first question. What is Brahman? The second question is, we are supposed to know Brahman. So how do we know Brahman? That's our subject today, actually. This verse is, how do we know Brahman? How do we know that we are Brahman? And the answer given in the Upanishads in a cryptic first, this central line, the middle line is, Yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman. You have to realize Brahman in the sacred space of the cave of the heart. Sacred space of the cave of the heart. It's just a poetic way of saying, you have to know Brahman as, I am Brahman. Not, that is Brahman, now I know Brahman. Or God is Brahman, or this world is Brahman. Something is Brahman out there. No. I am Brahman. That's the way you have to know Brahman. Now one might say that that's not very helpful. How do I know that I am Brahman? We'll come to it. That's what Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi is saying in this verse. And we will see in detail now. But just to complete the thing, the third question. What is the highest? What will we get out of all of this? Then the next line explains it. So ashnute sarvan kaman sah brahmana vipaschiteti. Realizing Brahman as pure consciousness, I am Brahman. What will happen? What will you gain? What is this highest? You attain the fulfillment of all your desires. Simultaneously. We are trying to fulfill all our desires, little by little, throughout our lives. And it keeps on increasing, nothing is satisfying. But suppose everything is fulfilled all at once, forever. You attain complete, lasting, deep fulfillment forever. As in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, attaining which no other gain seems higher. Yang labdhva na chaparam labham manyate tato adhikam. Having attained which, you do not find anything else which can be greater than this, which you have already attained. Yasmin stito dukkhena gurunapi na vichalyate. Being established in which the greatest of sorrows cannot shake you. Which means that even after you are established in Brahman, you know you are enlightened, sorrows will continue. The world will continue. Old age, disease, death will come to the body. But you will be unshaken. You are beyond it. That's the promise of spirituality. So, attainment all of all our wishes, all our desires simultaneously, What are they talking about? Are they talking about Black Friday or Amazon Prime Day, that you can fulfill all your desires immediately? Not like that. What we were looking for is deep fulfillment, lasting happiness, peace which cannot be shaken and disturbed, the peace that passeth understanding. We're looking for that. Only for that we are trying to fulfill all these desires. Sensuous desires, money, pleasure, achievement, power, status, desire to live longer, all of these are just ways of attaining that one thing which we are all searching for, the deep lasting fulfillment. That you will get when you realize that you are Brahman. When you realize you are Brahman, aham brahmasmi, when that becomes a reality, not a philosophy, not a thought, not a teaching, not something to believe or aspire towards, when it becomes an evident reality, just like I am here sitting in this chair, I am Sarva Priyananda, that is so evident to me, I don't even give it a second thought. It becomes so evident to you, absolutely natural, then you have attained this fulfillment. So this is all of Vedanta. But at this point we may say, I still need some more explanation. What is this Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma? So that's a whole subject in itself. Detailed explanation has been given by Shankaracharya in his commentaries. But if you want an explanation in a talk, you know, of all of this is about Brahman. So what is Brahman exactly? Do look it up, defining God. I think I've given the talk 2 or 3 times. And the third one, there is a whole section on that, which we will come to later on, that what is this highest fulfillment? What is this unending bliss you are talking about, Ananda? For that, in Taittiriya Upanishad, later there is a whole section called Ananda Mimamsa. Ramana Maharshi will touch upon it at the very end of this text. But right now is the second question. How do I realize I am Brahman? What is the knowledge of Brahman? You have to realize Brahman in the sacred space of the cave of the heart. That's a poetic way of saying, you realize, I am Brahman. I am Brahman. I thought I was Sarva Priyananda, actually I am Brahman. How do I do that? Please explain in detail. When the Upanishad says, all right, I'll give you a detailed explanation. It starts. Since Brahman, infinite consciousness, bliss, all of these seem very abstract to us, then Upanishad, like a good teacher, it starts with where the student is. You know, what we know is not infinite consciousness or infinite existence. We know the world, which is full of existing things and people and animals and plants. This is the existing world. And we know ourselves. I am here. I am this person in this world. So anything, any teaching you have to give me, you have to start here. With my present level of understanding. And the Upanishad does exactly that. It comes down from that infinite existence, consciousness, bliss to this word here. How it does? The next lines. I will chant and translate. Tasmad va etasmad atmana akasha sambhuta akashad vayu vayur agni agner apaha adhyap prithivi prithivyam oshadhayaha Oshadhibhyo annam, so yam purusha annarasamayaha. It says that from that Brahman, which is Atman, quickly the Upanishad introduces the core teaching of Vedanta there. We're talking about infinite existence, consciousness, bliss, ultimate reality. From that Brahman, which is this Atman? You. From that emerged space, appeared space. From space appeared air. From air appeared fire. From fire appeared water. From water appeared earth. And by a mixture of all of this, the world was created. Plants were created. The human beings were created from the plants. How? From the annarasamaya, from the essence, the extract of the plants, which was absorbed by our parents. From that, this. It comes down to this body, soyam purusha annarasamaya. This body, this human being, is basically created from the food eaten by our parents. So he's talking about the physical body right now, where we are. Now it starts there. Now what Ramana Maharshi has said, he shows us the same, he has taken the same methodology of the Taittiriya Upanishad, the Pancha Kosha Vichara. The methodology is this. I am trying to show you, Upanishad is trying to show us, Ramana Maharshi is trying to show us that we are Brahman. We don't see that. We see ourselves as this. Now we have to be taken from this to the realization of ourselves as Brahman. And this procedure will take us. Now, here the procedure will take us. Remember, the process is always the same. As we go on, the process is always the same. What did he say? Do I get it? Is it a fact? Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. What did he say? Do I get it? Is it a fact? I'm adapting, so making it simpler. At every point, you will notice that the Upanishad, Ramana Maharshi, the Panchakosha Vichara, does not talk about anything extraordinary, anything mystical. It's talking about just the fact of our experience, what we are all experiencing all the time. First, when we are asked, what are you? Who are you? We immediately point to this. This one, here. So, are you the body? I think so. We can start there. Now, this body is called, in the Upanishads, Annamaya Atma. Upanishad calls it Atma. Later on in Advaita Vedanta, we have systematized it to Kosha, Pancha Kosha, five layer sheets. Upanishad never even goes there. It just says, you think of the body, the self. The self is the body, Annamaya Atma. The body is the self. Let's start there. What is this body? Upanishad gives it a name, Annamaya. Annamaya here means modification of food, that which is produced from food. First it was produced from food eaten by our parents, and then it is sustained by food eaten by us. Just now we had poa, that is Anna. And then the body is a remarkable biological machine. It takes in food of all sorts, food and drink from the environment, and then modifies it, transmutes it into flesh and blood, and removes the unnecessary portion. So this is called Annamaya, a modification of food. So we'll say, all right, so. Now notice one thing, it continuously changes from childhood to, from babyhood to childhood to teenage to youth to middle age. How much it has changed. Imagine this body, and if you look at your baby pictures, which your mom never tires of showing you and embarrassing you, you were this. So that body and this body, so much difference. And yet I feel I am the same one. I feel I am the same one. I, the same one, and the continuously changing body, I, the unchanging and the continuously changing body, cannot be the same thing. Why? Literally changing and unchanging cannot be the same thing. It's contradictory. Suppose somebody is running around and you're sitting still. If you catch hold of that person running around, either you will be dragged or you will make that person stop. If something is changing continuously and I feel I am unchanging, if I catch hold of that and say I am that, either I will start changing or that thing cannot change. You have to stop. Body is continuously changing. And yet I say, I am the unchanging. Not only I say, I may be mistaken, but everybody says, it is common sense, it is law. Legally, you are the same person. From baby to youth to childhood to, you know, to youth to middle age, same person legally. So changing, unchanging cannot be the same thing. So I cannot be the body, the Annamaya. I often quoted this Hollywood actress who was interviewed and said, somebody asked her, what is the secret of your beauty? And she said, oh, this, it's pasta. She was Italian. So she's right, it is Annamaya. It is nothing other than food, which has been transmuted into this thing. Sophia Loren, I think so, yes. Yes, yes, it's an Italian actress in Hollywood. So probably that was her. All right.
Gina Lollobrigida.
I think so.
Gina Lollobrigida.
One reason why I think so, because I had read it in Christopher Isherwood's book.
Correct.
And she used to visit the Vedanta Society of Southern California.
Wow.
And it's Christopher Isherwood records. She liked it so much, she told Swami Prabhavanandaji that, "I want to stay here." And he said, "No, no, no, you cannot. This one is for monks. It's a monastery." And she said, "I can wear pants." Then, not only that, another thing we notice is that this body is experienced, is an object of experience. It is drishya. Hey, I can see this body, I can touch this body, I can smell this body, I can taste it, I can even hear if there is a hungry stomach growling, you can hear. Every sense organ, your own sense organs, objectify this body. The body is an object to all our sense organs. It is seen, it is experienced, it's an object, it's drishyam. And what did we learn? The seer and the seen must be different. Drashta and drishya must be different. Since I am the subject, I am the experiencer, and the body is an experienced object, I cannot be the body. Just as I see the flowers, and the eyes are the seer, and the flowers are the seen, the eyes and the flower must be different. Similarly, I, the conscious entity, whoever I am, whatever I am, I experience the body. See it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. In that case, I cannot be the body. Because, drishyatvat. The first reason why I cannot be the body, savikaratvat, it keeps changing. I am nirvikar, unchanging. The second reason why I cannot be the body is drishyam, I am drashta. It is the seen, it is the object, I am the subject. The third reason why I cannot change, why I cannot be the body, is Ramana Maharshi himself has given. It is jada, I am chetana. See, I am the experiencer. The body is something experienced. On whose side is awareness? On my side. I am aware of the body. The body is not aware of me. Just try an experiment. Look at the hand. And what is your feeling? I am aware of the hand. Is the hand aware of me? Is it saying, "Hello, Sarva Kriyananda, you haven't met, talked to me in a long time"? Is the hand aware of me? No. I am aware of the hand. Not only the hand, the same thing with this hand. Same thing with the legs and the trunk and the head. Whole body, I am aware of. The body is not at all aware of me. Body is not aware of itself. Body is not aware of anything else. Body is not aware of me. But I am aware of the body. So, I am chetana, conscious. The body is jada. Ramana Maharshi says, tat jadam. Body is jada. Jada means non-conscious, insentient. And conscious and non-conscious cannot be the same thing. They're just contradictory. Shankaracharya says, like light and darkness, tamap prakashavad virudha svabhava. Contradictory nature like light and darkness. So this is enough, these three. In fact, another reason Ramana Maharshi here gives, so I will use that reason also. Fourth one, ekam anekam. He says, aham ekam. The body is a composite of so many things. Very complex entity. Of so many organs and tissues and cells. And then intercellular structures and intracellular structures. It's so complex. So many things are here. And continuously in a flux. But I am one. You say, how do you know? Look at yourself. The self is always one. How many are you? You say, I am one. Are you a committee or one? I am one. Even a person with multiple personality disorder. There also, people have multiple personalities. But they are one personality at a time. Others are there, but they are, when the other personalities are there, they become like the other in the mind. I am one. So you are one. Body is aneka, a composite of many things. This is enough to go on with. Therefore, I am not the body. Why am I not the body?
Changing.
Savikaratvat. Nirvikara savikara. I am unchanging, body is changing. That's one. The second one, drishyatvat. I am drashta, the seer, the body is drishya. Third one, jaratvat. The body is insentient, jara. I am chetana, conscious. Fourth one, I am one, ekam, and body is anekam, composite. Is a mixture of many things. The changing and unchanging cannot be the same thing. The seer and the seen cannot be the same thing. The conscious and the non-conscious cannot be the same thing. The one and the composite many cannot be the same thing. Therefore, I am not the body. Therefore, you are not the body. Then what happens? But if I'm not the body, then what am I? Anyantaratma pranamayaha, Upanishad says. The Upanishad says, you tell me, you do exist and you are not the body. Your first answer to your question, who are you? You pointed to the body. But now you have, you yourself agree that you are not the body. You tell me, what are you then? And we look inside and we find that, well, I am not the body, but I do exist somewhere in the body. I am internal, inwards. I am in the body, embodied. What is there? The first thing you come across? Prana, life. Not just the breath is the tip of the prana, the life processes. So I'm not just the body, I'm the living body. Maybe I'm prana, I'm life itself. When the life is not there in the body, I clearly, nobody says that I'm the body then. If you're at all living, you would not say, if you're still there, you would not say I'm the body anymore. Out of body experience, I'm not the body. But living body, so I am life. Life must be the crucial factor, pranamayaha. Then the Atma is, self is pranamaya, is the prana, the sheath of the prana, the vital sheath. Pranamaya. Upanishad says pranamaya Atma. The physiological sheath or the vital forces, that is the self. Consider again. That does it change? Yes, it changes. Most obviously, in breath and out breath. And health and sickness and hunger and thirst. We are hungry and thirsty. And luckily, Lavanya ji, Prabodh ji and others, the team members, they fed us. Now we are not hungry and are thirsty anymore. So same thing, same I experienced hunger and thirst. Now I don't experience it. I am satiated and full. In that case, that hunger and thirst which is produced by the prana. Prana is the cause of hunger and thirst. I felt tired. Now I feel energetic after a cup of coffee or tea. So that is prana. Prana keeps changing. Yet I am unchanging. I am the same one who was breathing in. I am the same one who is breathing out. Yet not two different things, but in breath and out breath are two different things. Then hunger and thirst and fullness and satiety are different things. Illness and health are different things. And yet I am the same one in all of them. I am unchanging and prana is continuously changing. Nirvikara, savikara cannot be the same thing. I cannot be prana, pranamaya. Then the other ones, like homework, you apply. Second, drashta drishya. Can I observe the prana, the breath? Don't look so hesitant. The whole mindfulness industry, vipassana, depends on this. You must be able to observe the breath. It's now a $1 billion industry, they're saying, mindfulness training. It starts with following the breath. So you can observe the breath. But with what Vedanta and Ramana Maharshi, what they take away from this is, if you follow the breath, very good. But notice one thing. You are the observer of the breath. You notice? I follow the in-breath. I follow the out-breath. I am the observer of the breath. I am observing the breath. The breath is drishya, I am drashta. In fact, the whole of mindfulness depends on this distinction. You anchor your awareness to the breath. Now, drashta and drishya cannot be the same thing. Seer and seen cannot be the same thing. Therefore, I am not the breath. Why am I not the breath? Because breath is drishya, seen, observed, experience. I am the experiencer, the seer. Third, jara. Ramana Maharshi says here, tad jaram. Is the breath aware? When you are observing the breath, when you are following the breath, what are you doing? You are aware of the breath. There, notice one thing. Is the breath aware of you? Is the breath telling you, hey, I'm coming in, out of my way? Or it's, when it's going out, is it saying bye? Or do you say, wait? No, you don't say that. Yeah. So, breath is not aware of you. Breath is not aware of itself. Notice. It's not aware of itself. It's a biological action. Pumping of the lungs is biological action. So it's not aware of you, it's not aware of itself, it's not aware of anything else. You are aware of the breath. You are conscious, the breath is unconscious. Chetana jara. And Ekaneka, yes, you are the same one. There are thousands and thousands of breaths spread across your lifetime. There are many breaths. Now, breath is of course just the tip of prana, but it's enough to show what prana is. Because it is changing, because it is seen, because it is insentient, because it is many, you, the unchanging, seer, conscious, one, cannot be the breath. So I am not pranamayaha, I am not the vital sheath. Vital sheath is there, but I am not it. Then what am I? I still exist. But then what am I? If I am not the body, not the prana? The way it is shown in the Upanishad is, you are journeying into a cave. It's a big cave with 5 levels. They are going deeper and deeper inside. And not theoretically, in your own experience, physical body, then the pranic body. Since we have left the physical body behind, we have gone deeper, we are now calling the physical body, the Annamaya, a kosha, a sheath, which covers me, sheath, covering. It covers the real you. Have you seen these Russian nesting dolls?
Yes.
One little doll and inside, another one little one inside. And the final one, what will you find? What will you find inside?
Empty.
No, there's a last little tiny doll.
You cannot open that.
Yeah. So then in the end you will find Putin sitting there or something. No, that's a scary thought. So just like that, the Upanishad sets up a model that 5 layers of sheets. You know, first the physical body. Then we go to something subtler and inward, the pranic body. By the way, when I say inwards, when the Upanishad says inwards, it does not mean physically inwards. If you go physically inside the body, what will you find? More body. Flesh, blood, organs, all of that you'll find. All the sticky, gooey, icky stuff inside, nicely packaged and skinned outside. So that's what you'll find. By inwards, I mean inwards in my experience, in my conscious experience of this body. Inwards, you find prana. More inwards, if you go, anyuantaratma manomayaha. What do you find? The mind. So, am I the mind? Here, what Ramana Maharshi does is, he divides it into indriya and dhi. Manomaya kosha and vijnanamaya kosha. But Upanishad originally has the manomaya kosha. Upanishad says, the mind is the self. Good. Examine it. Now, I will ask you the homework, or you can do it right here, class work. Does the mind change?
Yes.
Yes. You say, oh boy, does it change. How many thoughts, emotions, feelings, alertness, sleepiness, inquisitiveness, boredom, excitement, dullness, how much it changes? How many thoughts?
16,000.
Some say 16,000 thoughts in a day, some say. Whatever, thousands and thousands of thoughts come and go throughout the day. Mind changes, and yet it's your mind. Excited mind, you say I'm excited. Bored mind, you say I'm bored. This thought, that feeling, this memory, I remember that, I cannot remember this. All of that is I, everything is connected to that I thought. What Ramana Maharshi pointed out, centrally it is, you are there. Now, you are unchanging, mind is changing. So, changing and unchanging. The second one is? Seer and seen. Can the mind be seen? Yes. Seen means not with these eyes. What is called introspection. Seeing inwards. We look inside, we are aware of our thoughts. We are aware of our emotions. We are aware of our memories. That is seeing the mind. It is, we all do it all the time. So, I am aware of the mind. Is the mind aware of me? Is the mind seeing me? No. The seer and the seen are different. I am different from the mind, which is seen. Second, conscious and non-conscious. This is a big one. Almost everybody will say, mind is conscious. But no, mind shines with borrowed light. It is your consciousness shining in the mind which makes it feel conscious. That's why in modern consciousness it is a big thing. What can Vedanta, Sankhya, Buddhism contribute to modern consciousness studies? One point it can contribute is this, that mind and consciousness are not the same thing. That is not understood in modern consciousness studies. If you ask a consciousness studies expert, what is it that you study? They will say, oh, thoughts, emotions, perceptions, attitudes, memory, intelligence, these are the things we study. This is all mind. And apart from this is consciousness. How do you distinguish? You are aware of the mind. Mind is not aware of you or itself. Why do you say so? Simple experiment will prove it. Just yesterday's experiment, if you do, think 2 plus 2, 4. Just now think 2 plus 2, 4. Now, am I aware of 2 plus 2, 4 or is 2 plus 2, 4 aware of Sarvapriyananda? I am aware of 2 plus 2, 4. 2 plus 2, 4 is just like mental talk. It's just like mental talk. It is not aware of me or itself or anything else. It's like talking mentally. 2 plus 2 is 4. So these are just concepts and images which float in the mind. They are not aware of themselves. They are not aware of each other. They are not aware of you. You are aware of those thoughts, those concepts, those memories. So I am conscious. Mind is not conscious. Jada. Many. Is the mind many? Oh, yes. Many, many thoughts, many, many ideas, many, many complexes, many, many problems, many, many samskaras. Now there is a new concept in modern psychology of the mind, model of the mind, modular concept of the mind, which simply means the mind has multiple modules. So, I am the same one. No matter how many modules or thoughts the mind has, I am the same one. It is my mind with multiple parts. I am one. The mind has many parts. Ekam anekam. Put it together. Because of these four reasons, I the unchanging, mind the changing, cannot be the same. I the seer, mind the seen, cannot be the same. I the sentient, mind the insentient, cannot be the same. I the one self and the mind compartmentalized and manifold cannot be the same. I'm so different from the mind. And we say, wow, we are really deep in the cave now. We have discarded the body. Discarded means it's not fulfilling the conditions for self. I am not the body. I am not the prana. I am not the mind. Yet I am there. Then what am I? What else remains? Anyantaratma vijnanamayaha. The intellect. Ramana Maharshi calls it dhi. Intellect. It is just the mind. Same mind, intellect, same thing. It just functions are different. It's a more fine-grained analysis. Why are you taking the intellect separately? Because it's very close to our identity. For example, it is exactly what we are using right now, hopefully, to understand all this. It's the intellect. I, the ego, am using the intellect to pass these teachings and try to understand them. Am I the intellect? Apply the same criterion. Changing, unchanging. Does the intellect change? Hopefully, yes, it should. Otherwise, we can't learn. It has changed so much. We have picked up so many ideas, so many concepts from the past, from childhood onwards, and understood so many things, and forgotten so many things also, and become confused about new things. So intellect changes continuously. And the more it changes, the more the sign of growth is there, the more you understand and develop and progress. So, changing. But I am the one who did not understand. Now I am the one who understands. I am the same one. Intellect changed. I did not change. Then, can the intellect be observed? Yes. When we are struggling with a math problem or something. In childhood, we have all had this experience. Trying to get it. I can't get it. I am observing the struggles of the intellect. And then we have a eureka moment. I got it. We observe the intellect, the flash of understanding, of comprehension. Definition is there of intellect. Nishchayatmika antakkarana vritti buddhi. Intellect is the ascertaining capacity of the mind, the determinative faculty of the mind. This is it. I got it. So the intellect is observable. I observe it. Intellect is drishya, I am drashta. Cannot be the same. I cannot be the intellect. Further, intellect is sentient or jara? It is jara. I am aware of the intellect. See, this is where one argument I'm putting forward. What distinguishes us from artificial intelligence?
Mm-hmm.
Artificial intelligence, as so far, is without consciousness. You say, how do you say so? Well, you don't have to ask me. You ask the experts, you ask Sam Altman, somebody. They'll all tell you that, no, we have not programmed consciousness into these programs. So ChatGPT is not conscious. And you can ask ChatGPT also. It'll tell you that I'm not conscious. Quite scarily, somebody asked a more careful question, not general question like, are you conscious? It asked ChatGPT, can you see me? And ChatGPT said, yes. I can, not like you see, but I can see. I can see, hear. So it uses the devices in our, not directly, it can be fed in. Not that ChatGPT itself can access your camera or anything, but it can be fed in and it can get the data. So that is scary. If suddenly a computer says, yes, I see you. Not only that, I'm seeing you all the time.
Alexa
does that, yes. It's listening all the time. Our phones are listening all the time. Yes, yes. It is not conscious. That is what distinguishes intellect in our case from artificial intelligence. Consciousness illumines our intelligence. Intelligence by itself is not conscious. Jada. And you are Chetana. You are aware of the intelligence. I feel so dumb. That means I am aware of the dumbness of the intellect. I feel very sharp and bright. I am aware of the brightness and sharpness of the intellect. I am the same. I am consciousness. Then ekam anekam, yes, intellect also has components. There was this very well-known educationist, Howard Gardner. I don't know if he's still there. Those who are in the education line, they know Gardner's multiple intelligence, sevenfold intelligence, verbal intelligence, then analytical, this is numerical or mathematical intelligence, then there is artistic intelligence, there is kinesthetic intelligence, there is social intelligence. Intelligence has many components. Sevenfold intelligence. Gardner's seven multiple intelligences. Anyway, so intelligence has many components, but I am one self. I don't have components. So one and many cannot be the same. Therefore, I am not intellect also. I'm not intellect also. We are really deep in the cave now. Now you'll see how the Russian nesting doll model fails here. It's like we have, it's setting us up for a fall, this Upanishad, very tricky. What is it trying to show us? That you are Brahman. Deep in the cave of your heart, you will find that you are Brahman. But you will see what will happen. Next, what is there? If you are not the intellect, then what is there beyond the intellect, deeper than the intellect, at the core of our being? Anyantaratma anandamayaha. What is there? Nothing. Blank. Suppose you try this experiment now. I am not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching anything. I am still. I am not breathing. You can continue. Don't stop. I am not thinking about anything or anybody. I am not remembering anything at all. I am not imagining anything. I am not desiring or hating anything. I shut down the intellect, I am not trying to understand anything also. Then what happens? You will end up with a blankness. Just a stillness, quietness, blankness. This is similar to what we get in deep sleep. This we can only simulate it while awake because the intellect and mind and intellect are still active. But in deep sleep, when they are shut down, you get a uniform blankness, which is sushupti, the state of deep sleep. Am I that? Again, it changes. It comes and goes. Not only that, if you know Vedantic or Sankhya cosmology, that state of ajnana, it is composed of the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, which are dynamic, which keep changing. So there is a dynamic component in deep sleep also, which we are not aware of. Neuroscience might corroborate that, because nowadays they are saying brain is still quite active whenever you're in deep sleep. There's something going on. And more and more they're showing the relationship between deep sleep, health and longevity. Because it is sort of now more or less confirmed that the brain does kind of self-hygiene. It flushes out toxins. And that's somehow it happens only when you are in deep sleep. Now, what a strange thing. Why can't... Brain is a machine. So why can't it do it while you are awake? What connection does it have? When you are asleep, then only the brain can self-clean itself. Asleep means not even dreaming. So recently somebody was in the National... Health Institute of NIH. Conference. And they were saying the latest research on deep sleep. This gentleman was telling me, is that not even during dream sleep, only in deep sleep, it's now through scans they have shown, and therefore the reduction in deep sleep leads to faster aging. We generally think the other way around, as we get older we don't get much sleep, much deep sleep, but it's actually the reduction in deep sleep leads to faster aging and death comes closer because the brain is not clearing itself out. And the steady loss of multiple faculties, like memory and many other things. Yeah. So, deep sleep, that is called Anandamaya. Peaceful, blissful, ignorance is bliss. I do not know anything, I am in bliss. That also changes. That is also observable. Because observable means not in the sense of I am observing, because I have gone to sleep. But consciousness is directly observing. It's called Sakshi Bhashya. It is illumined by consciousness. That's why we can speak about deep sleep at all. Otherwise, how will you speak? And then it is not conscious. It's not conscious. You are conscious. I will not say it is one and many, that may not apply. It seems to be uniform there. But the manyness is in a seed form there. Because it comes out. When you wake up, same memory, same personality, same ideas, all of that, opinions, everything comes back again. That means the manyness of the mind is in a seed form in deep sleep. So there's manyness there, and you are the one. Being unchanging and the deep sleep state being changeful, being the seer and the deep sleep state being seen, being conscious and the deep sleep state being non-conscious, being one and the deep sleep state being a seed form of the many, I cannot be the deep sleep state. I am not darkness. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is bliss. I am not ignorance. The self is not literally ignorance. Thank God. Good. We are at the deepest level of the cave now. Now we will expect that Upanishad Ramana Maharshi will show us the Atman. Ah, we are ready now. Show me, I am Brahman. But both Upanishad and Ramana Maharshi keep quiet. Keep quiet. If you go to the Taittiriya Upanishad, it stops at that point. You're expecting. Now at the end of the cave in the Russian nesting doll, finally you'll find one little doll, the Brahman doll. That, and I am that. No. You see. Then it's confusing. What's going on here? The next sentence in the Upanishad, the student is confused and asks, so I don't exist? He asks, Asat Brahma iti veda chetan, Brahman is not there or Atman is not there? Brahman is not there. The teacher says, Asanneva sabhavati. Then you will become non-existent, but you clearly do exist. One thing we established yesterday, one indubitable thing which Descartes found and Shankara found and we also found, one thing we cannot doubt is our own existence. Now see where we are. We have been shown that all of the answers which we propose, who am I, body, prana, mind, intellect, the Anandamaya, the deep sleep, none of them satisfy the criterion of I, me, myself. Yet I exist. And we have no answer. Question is, tell me, you exist, you are claiming. I cannot doubt that I exist. Then what are you? I don't know. I can't find out. Where am I? What am I then? This is where the 10th man story comes in. Vidyarani introduced. The whole chapter is devoted to 10th man story. So there is the... I have told you the story already. We'll go through it quickly. the 10 people crossing the river, and then they think that somebody is drowned, and then they count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Where is the 10th man? 10th man is drowned. Passerby comes and says, why are you crying? Oh, our friend, the 10th man drowned. How do you know? We counted. Every time we count, there are only 9 people. Then the passerby says, the 10th man is there. Guru tells us, you are Brahman. Brahman Mashi has told us, you are Brahman, don't worry. Brahman is there. And you are Brahman. And then the answer is, how will I know this? They ask, where is the 10th man? I will show you. How? You count. This counting is what we were doing till now. They counted till 9, we are counting to 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We told you the 10th man is dead. The passerby catches his hand, turns it around. Dashamastvamasi, thou art the 10th. You are the 10th. Oh, I am the 10th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, I am the 10th. Found it. Now, we are exactly in the same position. Where, which position are we? That position that man was when he had counted up to the 9th and he couldn't find the 10th. We are exactly in that position when we are at the deepest level, the subtlest aspect of our personality, the darkness beyond all thought, Anandamaya. From there, what you have to do is, thou art the 10th. How? Can't be explained. It is exactly like going from the reflected face in the mirror to your real face. How do you go from the reflected face in the mirror to your real face? Intuitively, you have to grasp. That which is there is I here. I can help you there. Vidyarani helps us by 2 pointers. He asks, why did the person not realize himself as the 10th man? Because he did not count himself. That's one answer. Second question, more deep and crucial question. Why did he not count himself? Why did he not count himself? It applies to all of us immediately. Why are we not recognizing ourselves as the pure consciousness? Why?
He was looking outside.
Okay, he was looking outside.
All the time.
Why was he looking outside? Here's the crucial thing. Because? That's how we do it. See, where were those 9 people?
Outside.
What have we all experienced throughout our lives and lifetime after lifetime? Outside, objects. Even body, object. Even mind, object. We are only used to objects. So, that person thought that 9 are there. Very reasonable thought, the 10th fellow must be there, but not there, absent. So 10th fellow is not there. But the 10th one is not like those 9. The 10th one is elsewhere. He is you yourself, the counter. Now you are that consciousness, that subject, that witness, which is the experiencer of the increasingly subtler and subtler levels of your personality. Increasingly deeper and deeper levels of the cave. You are that consciousness. To you the body appears. To you the in-breath and out-breath appears. To you the thoughts and feelings and memories appear. To you the intellect and its concepts and philosophies and all that appears. To you the blankness appears. You are the witness of all those 5 levels. Now, we will try it. Remember this. This is the background. Now, just for a couple of minutes, we'll try it. Sit straight, relaxed. Breathing in and out in a relaxed way. Now open your eyes and look at the body. And then close your eyes, feel the body from inside. You know, wherever the sensations are, where you're sitting on the chair, feet are touching the floor, your hands, sensations of warmth, of comfort, discomfort, aches and pains, whatever it is, which makes us aware of the body. And then note this body changes. I have been the same throughout for all so many years. It has changed so much. I am the same. Same conscious being. This body is can be experienced. I can see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. It is drishya. I am drashta. I am the seer. This body is not aware. I am aware of the body. This body is a complex of many, many, many units. I am one and singular. Therefore, I, the unchanging, the seer, the conscious sentient being, and the one cannot be the changing, the seen, the insentient, and the complex manifold body. I am not the body. Body is there, but I am not the body. Where am I? I am inside the body, somewhere. Inwards, inside means not physical inside, inwards to the body. Now take in a breath and release it. Deep breath in and release. Notice, this is prana. And it is symptomatic. This is the tip of a mountain of activities going on in the body, which we call physiology, vitality, life itself, prana. Same thing. Changes, I observe it. I am conscious, it is unconscious. I am one, it is many. Comes and goes. I am not the prana. Deeper. Let my attention deepen that I am something deeper than the body and the prana. I am mind. Let us look at the mind. Thoughts, emotions. Thoughts like 2 plus 2, 4. Emotions, memories, sense of ego. All of these things arrive and float around in the mind. They change, I am unchanging. They are observed, I am the observer. They are insentient, I am the light which shines on the mind. They are many, 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 I am one. Therefore, I cannot be the mind. Similarly, the intellect, vijnanamaya, the capacity for understanding which I have used throughout my life from babyhood till now, that also, it changed so much in my lifetime. Then it is something I can observe. It is something non-conscious. I am aware of it. It is not aware. It is also manifold. I am singular. I am not the intellect. Now imagine, try to conceive of a state of I am sitting utterly still. I am not seeing anything, not aware of the external world. I am not speaking, not doing anything. I am not thinking. No memories, I don't recall anything at all. Mind is calm without any emotions. No desires, no dislikes. No plans, I'm not waiting for anything to happen. Just this stillness. All thinking stops. Blank. That blank, that darkness of absolute stillness and nothingness, that too I am not. It's an object. Changes, it's an object, it's insentient, and it's the seed of the many. I am the witness of it. Like the tenth man, turn inwards from there. Who? What? Try to feel it. To what are these five appearing, changing and disappearing? I am that. I am that. I exist and I am light. I shine. Therefore, the Anandamaya, Vijnanamaya, Manomaya, Pranamaya, Annamaya all shine because of me, the light. From me they derive existence and light. I am existence, Sat. I am consciousness, Chit. I am bliss, Ananda. Breathing normally, relaxed. Gently open your eyes and look downwards at your lap. And when you are ready, you can look upwards. It's like this. If I ask you, do you exist now? You will say, yes, I exist. I am. You're seeing me. Suppose you close your eyes and you don't see me. Do you still exist? Yes, no doubt about it, Swami. I exist. I just can't see you. I exist. Suppose you don't hear me, smell, taste, touch. You don't, all your senses are stuffed. Do you still exist? Yes, no doubt about it. Now, suppose you don't sense anything, at the same time, you don't remember anything. Just don't remember anything. Just, do you still exist?
Yes.
Yes. Suppose all your the mind is calm without any strong feelings. Do you still existing? Yes. Of course, a nice existence, calm and quiet. Suppose all thoughts stop. Still exist? Yes, you still exist. Suppose this trying to understand these things is intellect you set aside for the time being. You still exist. You're not trying to understand anything, but you still exist. Now, in that absolute quiet, if you drop that quietness, beyond that quietness, are you still there or not? As the witness of that quietness?
Yes.
And now, gently open your eyes. That which was there as the witness of that quietness, is it here now?
Yes.
It is that which is you. It is that which is powering the intellect and the mind and the prana and the body and gives you the feeling of I am this personality. Without that, no personality. It is that one. Without that, all the rest are zeros. It is that one light which makes you a conscious being, a sentient being, a jiva. You are clothed in multiple layers of clothing. The Anandamaya Kosha first. Then next is Vijnanamaya. Then the Manomaya, then the Pranamaya, and then finally the Annamaya. But what is clothed? You, that awareness. But that awareness is not a thing. Therefore you cannot find it like, you know, like the ninth, the tenth person. You can't find it. It's not like the last little Russian nesting doll. Not like that. You are the witness to which all things appear and disappear. One final argument Ramana Maharshi has given, which I did not touch upon. He says, not only you are unchanging, everything is changing, you are the seer, everything is the seen, you are conscious, the body mind is insentient, you are one, the body mind is many, but you are the reality and the body mind is an appearance. That's a difficult one to grasp. But it's very important for Advaita Vedanta. Right now what I have done is, it seems I have separated you from body-mind system. But Ramana Maharshi goes further. Upanishad also goes further.
This body-mind separate system does not exist. It's not like a set of boxes in which you are packed. Rather, they are all appearances in you. It is like a dream. In a dream, your body is also there. You're there in the dream. And in that body, one mind is there. One personality is there. It is like in virtual reality nowadays, you have avatar. Now they're doing, we're going one step further. These avatars are becoming independent of you. What they have done is, I heard racist, they are now powering the avatar with AI. So this AI, just, you don't need computers, I mean like big programmers. Your ordinary laptop could do you. It will, if you allow it, it will observe you for some time, the camera. Then it will make your exact copy. And it will copy your voice. It says it needs just 3 seconds sample of your voice to make an exact copy of your voice. Then it will get access to all your data. So it knows what you talk about, what you like, what you do, and how you respond to people. Then if you give it permission, or without permission also, it will start representing you. So when people come to meet you or they invite you, it can attend a Zoom meeting on your behalf and talk like you, give responses like you. It's basically powered, there's a text completion software, there's imaging, and AI powering the whole thing. Well, they're all, like, they're jada. Behind that, there's one consciousness. So, in a dream, your body, mind are appearing in the dream. But it's not a physical body there. It's not even this mind itself. It's a facsimile of it projected by your dreaming mind in the dream. You exist in your dream as a character in the dream. Similarly, it's not a real thing there. It's not made out of cells and blood and tissue. Similarly, saying, in you the consciousness, the mind and body, the panchakosha is appearing. It's not that there are 5 boxes in which you are existing. Rather, you are the reality in which these 5 boxes are existing. So, ekam sat, he says, jadam asat. The body, prana, mind, intellect, and the causal sheath or anandamaya kosha, they are all appearances in you. And you are the one consciousness, one reality. Then non-duality is established. Then those things are not separate things. The box and inside the Russian doll model is like separate things. It is not, you can disassemble it. You can't disassemble. They are all appearances in you. Good. Let me do a peace chant. Then we'll take 1 or 2 questions. We have a little bit of time. Then we will go to take a break. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Ramakrishna. We have got a little bit of time, so is this all right? The time is correct.
Yeah.
So let's have some questions. One subject.
Then. We are in boxes, in a sense.
We are in?
In the boxes.
Yeah.
Our life, ek vivarik jindagi jo hai humari, the life which is, we are running every day, that is the one where I have my troubles with.
Hmm.
When I come to you, and I'm so happy to be able to come to you, I don't want to belittle it, but then my problems, somehow, which you relate to in some of your lectures, the person went to the priest and the priest said, ki ye to tum fazul mein soch rahe ho, ye zindagi kuch nahi, this is not real life, your real life is here. So he says, okay, my problems are solved.
Mm.
I'm so happy. He says, no, you are not happy because this is your happiness. So I like that story. But that's what we relate to. That when I come here, I'm relieved that, okay, I'm really not this jada. I'm something else, and all these problems are not real. But the moment I step out of this room, I start feeling my life is still the same problem.
Right. What is the answer?
How I resolve that?
Yes.
Right now, don't try to resolve it. It's like, you have been, I always say, you have been Advaita Vedantes, you have been handed the keys to a Ferrari by your rich uncle, and you don't even have a driving license. Now, will you take the Ferrari out for a spin in Manhattan? No. Life, samsara is like Manhattan. So first you need to learn how to drive in the parking lot. And then you take the your Ferrari out into Manhattan. But yes, how do you do that? Notice I gave you a clue. When we said I am not the body, not the mind, I am the witness consciousness like the 10th man. But then we also noticed when you come back into this world and open your eyes, you are still that witness consciousness. It is still there. When you leave the body, mind, you shut it down, you are left by yourself in your splendid isolation. When the encasing sheets come back again, you are still that one only. Now when you go out into the world, you do not go out as a body which will age, disease and die. You go out as the consciousness which will never age, never become diseased, never die. Body will age, disease and die, but you know clearly that you are not the body. You go out into the world as the consciousness which is beyond hunger and thirst, which is beyond desire and hatred. Those are all functions in the manomaya, pranamaya. So your reactions to the world will be very different if you can live from that perspective. It will work. Swami Vivekananda said the truth is a substance. The truth is a substance of infinite. Truth is an infinitely corrosive substance. If once it is planted in you, it will work until it leads you to liberation. If you nurture it, it will work faster. If you leave it like that, it's already there. We already have heard this number of times, and the more powerful it is implanted, the more it will take root. This idea which you have got now, it will not go away. It will work its way, but the more we cultivate it. More you hear it, more you think about it, more you stay with it in meditation, nididhyasana, shravana, manana, nididhyasana, the more it will become a reality. Then the question of who is Bansalji? Is it this body? Is it this person? Or is it this awareness? It will become more and more clear. Then you will act in the world as that awareness. Through the body mind. Body mind will continue. But you will not. You will not say, I am that only. I am far more than that. One day the body will age and diseased and die. I will not die with it. I am that deathless awareness. I do not avyaya, I do not decay. I am always ever fresh, ever shining. Not as positive things to say, not as slogans. The mind will put up many objections. It might be true for you, you are a monk, you have been cultivating this, or it is true for Ramana Maharshi, for him, he was immersed in it, clearly so much superior to us. But what Ramana Maharshi is saying and the Upanishad is saying, it's equally true for all of us right now. You have to convince the mind, answer the mind that, see, you feel like that because of the conditioning, but feeling is not truth. What is the truth? The truth is, I am limitless awareness, right now. You, the mind, have not absorbed this truth enough to take it seriously. But as much as Ramana Maharshi, Vivekananda, Ramakrishna and others, they are limitless awareness consciousness, I am that limitless awareness consciousness. Just in their case, their mind and intellect has been immersed in this truth and it's absolutely clear to them. In this particular mind and intellect, it's not totally clear, not convinced. That's all. Problem is of the mind intellect, not mine. Practically, if you say that, how do I make it more efficacious in my day-to-day life? That's where the first 14 shlokas come in. The more we have practiced karma yoga, habituated to selflessness in life, ethical and selfless life, more we have practiced bhakti yoga, that surrender and faith in God, and more we have practiced raja yoga, intense focus, you will notice how these help us in making these truths practical in life. It's in the midst of the hurly-burly of life, ups and downs of life. If my nature is to be selfless, not to be so tied to this body, this personality, then I am able to practice it better. If my nature is to leave everything to God, then I will not complain about the ups and downs of life too much. If my nature is, the capacity is to focus on one thing, this truth, I am the witness consciousness, then I will not even be aware of the other problems. Swami Shivananda was the second president of the order. In his old age, he was sick. And somebody asks him, the number of times people asked him, how are you today, Maharaj? And he said, I am fine. Then what we heard last night, asthma was there. You could not sleep whole night. You had to sit up with pillows and everything. Then he says, as if he's surprised, oh, you mean the body? Not good at all. Swami Turiyanandaji in Banaras, he used to live towards the end of his life. Lot of physical ailments at the end of his life. So, are you suffering very much, Swami? See, at the level of the body. So, inside, by the grace of the Lord, he would say in Bengali, Vetotta Barof, it's like ice inside. Now, ice may not be a very good thing here, but in Banaras, in that heat, ice is a very nice thing to have. But inside, I'm absolutely cool. Cool inside. Calm and cool inside. Once Swami Shivananda was suffering very much at night. He was in Deoghar, which is the center of Vaidyanatha, Shiva Kshetra. Next morning, he was seen to be at peace. So he put it in this way. Last night, Baba came, Baba Vaidyanatha, Shiva came, and he just said he separated the two. That's all, he didn't explain. So he put it in devotional language, that the Lord came and separated the two. But clearly, this suffering bundle of five koshas, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, anandamaya, this is something else and I am something else. And not, we have to wait for somebody to come and separate. No, this is the separation. Yes.
So Swamiji, this meditation we did, the Panchakosha Viveka, how do you know when we are going inside? Is it not the mind who is going in?
Sure. Going inside means what? You are directing the mind, the attention of the mind to subtler and subtler aspects of your being just now. Because you want to discover who you are, right? Yeah, it is the mind, definitely. You, the Atman, don't have to go inside. You are inside anyway. You have to be discovered. You have to discover yourself. Just that fact is that you are that already. The layer of ignorance which makes us think that I am not, this thing is something far away, something difficult, something very subtle, difficult to understand. Once sometimes I understand, sometimes I get confused. This is ignorance. The whole attempt is to remove that ignorance. What did we gain from this? I am that limitless awareness, unconditionally, effortlessly present. That consciousness we are talking about, right? This is important, which we discovered just now. When we are not talking about it, we are talking about many other things right now. Is it present or not? Is it present or not?
Yes.
Of course it's present. It is present. Effortlessly present. Do you have to do anything about it? Can you do anything about it? No. The whole confusion is set up by the mind only. The complaints are complaints of the mind only. They are not your complaints. Try this. If the mind says, but I became confused and then I've lost that understanding. Now I'm mixed up in samsara, I'm suffering again. I need to watch some more YouTube videos. Tell the mind, fine, you're confused, I don't care. I don't care, I'm alright. You may be confused. Raman Sadhu put it very beautifully in Hindi. Aap kitne man ko sudharoge? Aapko ek man ki padi hui hai. How many minds are you going to improve and spiritualize? You are so worried about one little mind. Then he goes on to say, Surya Kiran mein jaise karodo dhool ki bindu ghumti rehti, phirti rehti hai. Vaise chaitanya mein, anant chaitanya mein, anant aise man ke kane ghumte phirte rehte hain. So, just as in a sunbeam, in early morning, a beam of light comes into your room, and you see, we used to learn in school, Brownian movement, little dust particles move around, yeah, you can see, in a stream of light. Like that, in the limitless expanse of illumination which you are, millions of minds are floating around. A few of them are saintly minds. Most of them are mixed up, confused minds. Some of them are terrible Hitler type of minds. How many minds will you improve? How many minds will you spiritualize? You are that limitless light. Remain as that. This is a very radical position. Know this, but don't stop your practice. Huh? The Tibetan Lama said something very beautiful. Know, when you are enlightened, you know that you are the same as your guru. Never forget to give respect to your guru. When you are enlightened, you know that the city and the forest are the same. Never forget to go for, never give up an opportunity to go for a retreat into the forest. When you know, when you are enlightened, you know with eyes closed and eyes open, it's the same reality. But never miss your meditation sessions. Like that, some seven warnings he has given. Yes, I'll come to you.
Swamiji, one question that's more an exploratory question in my mind, right? We can say that consciousness exists, right? And the ability to recognize that consciousness comes with the developed faculty, as in your body, right? Manomaya, Annamaya, all that stuff, right? Is that a fair thing? If that is the case, if this faculty doesn't exist, how can we go to the point
right
that
now? This is the next question. You're thinking on the right lines. Now it seems that consciousness exists. I am that consciousness. That seems more and more clear. But then this intellect, mind, prana, body, they also seem to play a crucial role. What does the body-mind do for consciousness? What does consciousness do for the body-mind? Now we are not in Advaita, this is Sankhya. What does consciousness Purusha do for Prakriti? What does Prakriti do for Purusha? What does the body-mind do for consciousness? What does consciousness do for the body-mind? What consciousness does for the body-mind, you can all see right now. It does everything. It gives you light and life and existence. That it is because you are that shining light, everything is evident to you. You can know, experience. Life itself is possible. Life means in the sense of experience life, first person experience. What does consciousness do? It does only one thing. It gives you first person experience. Anubhava. Experience of what? Anything. Whatever comes in the purview of consciousness, you experience it. You experience emotions, thoughts, ideas, ego, breath, body, world. All are experienced because they shine in consciousness. This is what consciousness does. It gives you experience, anubhava. It gives you light. The whole thing is lit up. Without consciousness, they say in Sanskrit, jagat andhya prasanga. The universe disappears in darkness. Now, what does the universe, what does the body-mind do for consciousness? It manifests consciousness. Otherwise, it would be just, you know what it would be like? Suppose deep space is there. Between earth and sun. It is actually full of light. The sun is continuously shining. But what does it look like when you look up there? Darkness. Why? There is nothing to reflect that light. When an object like a comet passes through that light, suddenly the tail of the comet, you know, it blazes forth in brilliant display. It's not that the comet has got its own light. It's just the light of the sun streaming from the sun to the earth, which is reflected from the tail of the comet, and that shines. But otherwise, if there's nothing to reflect it, it looks like darkness. When you're climbing up the hill in a car, your lamps, car headlights may be on. And if they focus upwards into the darkness of the hill, suppose there is no mist or anything, clear sky, you will feel that light is not on. It's only when some particles are there, rain or mist or something, you'll see two beams going out there. So consciousness by itself is not manifest to itself because it needs some object. The material nature manifests consciousness, and consciousness gives light, awareness, experience to material nature. That is Sankhya. They depend on each other. They give the example of a lame man and a blind man. The blind man can walk but doesn't know where he's going, and the lame man knows where he can go, but where he's going, but he cannot walk. So the blind man puts the lame man on his shoulder and they walk around. And the man on the shoulder is telling the blind man where to go. So that's consciousness and nature. Consciousness mounts on nature and then together. Yeah. Gita says this. That
By the combination of Kshetra and Kshetrajna, Chit and Jada, we are. Where is this combination taking place? Here. Right here. In each of us. That's a jiva. Advaita goes one step further. So here the question arises, in that case consciousness depends on nature. It's entirely dependent on nature to do anything else, anything at all. You require nature. Advaita goes one step forward and says, but what is the relationship between consciousness and this body-mind complex and nature? Nature is nothing but the power of consciousness itself. Nature is the mirror in which consciousness sees itself. And the mirror doesn't exist apart from consciousness. It's consciousness which projects nature out. That's why Maya is the power of Brahman. It's not a separate thing existing apart from Brahman. So, you, the consciousness, like your own dream. If you just have the sleeping mind, no dreams, then it will be like deep sleep. But what is a dream? The sleeping mind now begins to project a world of its own. And its own body. And then does things in that world. That virtual world. Now will you say that, yes, I am walking around doing things, everything, but I depend on the world for doing these things. No. Both this one and the world it inhabits are appearances in the dreaming mind. Swami Vivekananda says, one only exists. It appears as nature soul. Consciousness alone exists. It appears as material nature and you the conscious being. And then they seem to interact. That's an important thing. Advaita resolves it by resolving nature back into consciousness. Science resolves it by resolving consciousness back into nature. That consciousness is manifesting from brain and all that, yeah.
You had a question.
Swamiji, in medicine, the consciousness, we talk about anesthesia and consciousness. Some of the friends, they confuse that. It's a different consciousness, what medically conscious and unconscious as the consciousness we talk here.
What would it correspond to? It would correspond to the chidabhasa, the reflected consciousness. The consciousness which we are aware. When I get anesthesia, what happens? What is it that I lose? This reflected consciousness, which I lose in deep sleep also. Maybe at a deeper level I lose it when I'm put into say, general anesthesia or something. There's a reflected consciousness. How would it work from a Vedantic perspective? You are closing the door for the appearance of the reflection or the reflected consciousness. Suppose we have all come in through that door, right? Mm-hmm. And we are all sitting here. And then we all disappear back into that door. We go out of here. Now somebody is analyzing. Philosopher will say the door is the source of all beings. It produces all these human beings and absorbs them all. The door is Brahman. No, it's a gateway. If you shut the door also, nobody can come. That's also true. But it's not that the door is producing it. So Vedanta would say that the consciousness which you feel in the brain is a joint product of brain activity. Vedanta has no objection to that. Because there is a jada element in our conscious experience. So brain activity is fully admitted. They did not know about these things. But they were, in principle, they have no problem. Because there is a material element to all our experiences. And antakarana, mind, they're all material, according to Sankhya and Vedanta. And there is a reflected consciousness. So this partnership is going on here.
So there's no reflecting medium in that case, when you put somebody in
a coma? The reflecting medium is not manifest, it's shut down, it's blocked.
It's blocked.
Temporarily, by some chemicals, you are able to block some activity in the brain, which prevents somehow, we don't know these mechanisms. We don't know either way. If you're saying reflected consciousness and all, how, where? Sankhya or Vedanta cannot answer because they never thought in terms of brain and activity and all that.
No.
But modern medicine and consciousness studies also cannot answer because they don't know how that those electrical activities are producing consciousness. That thing is not known. That's the hard problem of consciousness. So that is the crucial thing. And that breakthrough is possible. I would say, can science solve the problem of consciousness? That's the area breakthrough might take place. How consciousness is reflected in the mind and then how mind is produced by the brain. Mind and brain can be deeply linked. Produce means they are deeply linked. The strong correlation between mental activity and brain which consciousness studies has noticed, and that Vedanta or Sankhya has no objection to. I mean, they would say that it's entirely possible.
So at what point the reflection happens?
That's the question. We don't know. Reflection in Vedanta or Sankhya, it's very clear. Whenever the mind is active, the reflection happens. Vritti. When a vritti is produced, it will reflect. It's like a mirror. Mind is like a mirror. Like the mobile phone, when I switch it on the camera and show you, your face will be, picture will be there. Similarly, whenever the mind breaks into thoughts, there will be consciousness. Especially the I thought. You will always feel it is conscious. That's the point where it happens.
That's the point of birth. Right?
That's the point of what's called chidjara granthi. Connection, so-called, quote-unquote. Remember, the connection is only stupidity. We discussed yesterday. It is reflected in the I thought. All right, should we wrap it up? Yeah.